This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Okay, so one of the things that we ended off the shiur on last time was the analysis of the Gzeira Shava, which Tosfos pointed out wasn't altogether exact, because although we're using we're hyperlinking the word kicho from the posuk in this week's parasha that we just had of Avram saying to Ephron, here is the money, kach mimeni, take it, kach. And in the posuk from which we learn kinyan kesef, ki yikach ish isho, we have that same word, kicho, and we learn that the same as kesef was the kinyan that Avram used to acquire the field in which the Maras HaMachpelah was. So with an isho, kesef can be used. And Tosfos said, but that isn't really altogether accurate, because the word kicho in the case of Ephron is referring to the money, take the money, whereas in the case of ki yikach ish isho, if we're using kinyan kesef, the man takes the woman and she takes the kesef. She receives the kesef, and that's not what the kicho is. The kicho is on the kinyan, on the woman. So in fact, they're not really perfectly matched. And Tosfos seems to be going according to the view of the Ritva that this isn't an absolute gezera shova. We don't really learn kinyan kesef from here. It's just that without this posuk, we wouldn't have known that the acquisition of that if we use kesef under the chuppah, it's actually called a kinyan. In other words, that we need a posuk to tell us that's kinyan. It's not some ma'aseh kiddushin, which fits in a little bit with what we've been suggesting, that in the act of kiddushin there really are two levels that we're functioning on. The one is the level of a kinyan, and the other is a level of a kind of hektish almost, where one's elevating the woman with some measure of kedusha that entails isur to other people. In that case, one understands, Tosfos is saying, without the posuk, we wouldn't have known that this is called kinyan, that there's something possessive, almost commercial about it. And as Rashi says right at the beginning of the Masechta, ha'isha niknes labaal, or he becomes a baal at the moment that he gives the kesef. He has acquired something. And we learned in the first year that what he's acquired is the right to her exclusivity. And that's called kinyan. That's all we can really learn from this posuk, is what the Ritva says. And Tosfos seems to be going in that school. From the Rambam, it seems not so. And certainly from the Magid Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam. Because the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchus Issus in Halacha Beis, Bevia uvishtar min ha-Torah, that the kinyonim of Bia and Shtar come from the Torah, and we'll see as we go through the Gemara where exactly they learned from, with a kesef midivrei sofrim. And the kinyan kesef is a divrei sofrim. And when the Rambam says divrei sofrim, it's not quite a derabbanan. The Rambam has a kind of a middle category of a divrei sofrim. The Magid Mishnah goes out of his way to say, why is kesef divrei sofrim? Because many people, including the Ravid, say that's not true at all. We learn kesef from psukim. We learn kesef from a gzeira shava. How can that possibly be divrei sofrim? And the Magid Mishnah says that the reason that the Rambam says it's divrei sofrim is following his principle on the Sefer HaMitzvot in Shoresh Hasheni, which is that something that is learnt from a gzeira shava is called divrei sofrim. It's more severe. It's not quite a doraisa, but nor is it the rabbanan. A gzeira shava is very strong. It's a very powerful limud, but it doesn't make it quite a doraisa according to the Rambam. In Shoresh Sheni, not everybody agrees with that. And so the Magid Mishnah says the reason the Rambam says it's Divrei Sofrim and not Doraisa is because a Gzera Shova yields a Divrei Sofrim. It doesn't yield a Doraisa. Whereas the Magid Mishnah could simply have said the Rambam doesn't hold that we learn from the Gzera Shova at all. It's just to tell us that it's called Kinyan, as Tosfos does. So it would seem to me that the Magid Mishnah, at least in the Rambam, holds that according to the Rambam, this is a proper Gzera Shova, unlike Tosfos and the Ritva. Now, we can take that a step further, and we see something quite interesting. There's a Taz in Choshen Mishpat, which I mentioned at the end of the last year. It's in Simon Kuf Tzadi in Choshen Mishpat, so if any of you wish to have a look at it at an opportunity, it's quite easy to follow. The beginning of Simon Kuf Tzadi, which is Hilchos Mekach U'Memkeh, it's the dinim of sale, and the Shulchan Aruch says there, Karka nikne be'echot mi'arba dvorim. Karka can be acquired in one of four ways, bekesef bishtar, bechazoko, bekinyan suda, and so on. And then he goes on to say, bekesef ketzad, how do you do the kinyan bekesef? On that, the sma says, well, I'll come to the sma in a moment, the Taz says, among other things, that this kinyan kesef, in the case of a field, when you're busy buying a field and you're using kinyan kesef, that it has to be given, the chol shalei nosan b'toras shivui mekach eino kone. He quotes the sma. The sma says that when you pay that money, even if it's just a pruta, if you're going to buy a field, you're going to buy a building, the building is worth $10 million, and you do a kinyan kesef, it only has to be a pruta. Says the sma, but that pruta you give has to be the beginning of the payment. So you're saying, I'm putting down a deposit of a pruta, the balance I will pay you, and that's a kinyan. That's kinyan kesef. Says the Taz, I don't understand that. And it says one of the reasons is because gam gabi kinyan de isho bekesef nilmad mi Ephron. Where do we learn from that a woman is nikneis bekesef? We learn that from Ephron, Kemod Issa Resh Kiddushin, as we've learned in our Gemara here. V'zeh poshut debe isho koino iso derech nesino lechud lo besoira shivu ima shehu shova. Bashihi shova. Clearly, says the Taz, when you acquire a woman with a pruta, you're not suggesting that she's worth a pruta. That would be absurd. Clearly, this is just a symbol, as one would in the case of Kinyan Chalipun, use a sudar, one would use a handkerchief or something as an act of kinyan. Here we're using kesef. And says the Taz, that cannot be a deposit because there's no further payment in the case of kiddushin. It's not as if you're giving a pruta now and you're saying, I'll continue, I'll pay the rest later on, because you haven't agreed what an amount would be. So the entire kinyan is the pruta. That can't be the value of the woman, says the Taz. And since we learn kiddushin from Ephron, which is a field, we must say in the field also, the kinyan kesef is not a down payment on the field. It's a separate action which is symbolic. It's an act of kinyan kesef, and it's not considered a deposit. That's how the Taz learns. The Sma, on the other hand, seems to learn that in both cases, they are it is a down payment. And he says quite clearly, V'ayri dafka keshenosan loy hashove prute al demei hapiroin, v'hasha'ar zokus alav b'milveh. The pruta he gives, the kesef that he gives at the time of the kinyan, is the beginning of payment, and the rest remains a debt. And it would seem that the sma might hold that the same applies in kiddushin, or he might hold that there's a difference between kiddushin and sodeh. Although we learn kiddushin from sodeh, it's not a gezeira shava proper, so we don't learn everything that applies to a field and apply it absolutely to the case of the woman. So here we might have an example of where that's what they're arguing about, that the Taz goes like the Rambam, that this is a proper gzera shova, and if it's a proper gzera shova, just as in the case of the woman, the pruto is not the full, is not payment, it's a symbol, so in the case of field, the kinyan kesef is a symbol, it's not payment. However, the Sma says this is not a gzera shova, a proper gzera shova. He might hold like the Ritvo and the Tosfos. This is not a proper gzera shova. And although by a field it is the beginning of payment, by a woman it might not be the beginning of payment. The kinyan kesef of a woman is completely different. And we don't learn its essence from Sadei Ephron at all. Interestingly, the Avnei Miluim gives a third view and holds, in Simon Chof Test, the Avnei Miluim holds that in both cases, even in Kiddushin, the pruta is payment. And he uses quite a strong language, which we've got to just give a little bit thought to conceptually, and he says, Kiddushe kesef nami b'toras shivuhu. When you do Kiddushin with kesef, that's also as shivu, you're giving value. Ve'im mekadsho bifruto, havi kol demei shivui ha-kiddushin. And if he uses a pruto, if he is mekadesh her with one pruto, then, says the Avnei Miluim, is the value of the entire kiddushin. He's actually acquiring those rights in her, whatever those rights are, for a pruto. That's what he's paying. That's the price. which is really interesting and quite difficult to understand, because the Gemara further on is going to explain that there are certain things a woman, it's degrading to think that a woman would be makhne herself for that amount. When we come on to Chalipin, we'll see in a Tosus at the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we're going to get to that when we examine the idea of trade and barter with a woman. And we say a woman would never do that. But for a pruta, she would. Are we suggesting that for one pruta, she would be willing to be makhne herself? What does that mean? I understand according to the Taz, or even according to the Sma, in the case of Kiddushin, it's possible that the pruta is just a symbol. But Avni Miluim clearly states, and others too, that even in the case of Kiddushin, the pruta is shivui, the pruta is what you're actually paying for. And normally that would be very difficult to understand conceptually. It's okay to understand halachically, technically, but philosophically, what does that mean? However, based on our shir last week, we can understand it, because the role of the money is only a part of the story. And you remember we said that the Kinyan Kiddushin is a very unique Kinyan. As the Baruch Ber explained in the B'chaim, the Gezeres HaKosuv on Daf Gimel, that in the case of Kiddushin, there are two things. The Kinyan requires two things. It requires an act of Kinyan, which is the Kesef, and it requires also the statement of intent, or the clarity of intent, either from the Baal's words or from the Baal's actions. And that's why we say Hare Atma Kudeshesli, so as to make it very clear from his words what his intention is here. And this is unique. There's no other Kinyan that requires the Kohen to clarify his action in words. And you remember I suggested one of the source might be the word Kicho, because Kicho in the Torah means two things. It sometimes means purchase and acquisition, and it sometimes means persuasion. And if we take the dimension of persuasion, then we're saying a man, when he is ma'aris, when he's makadish his wife, has to acquire her through an act of generosity and persuasion. Now, if it was just the kinyan, then of course the pruta would be very difficult to understand philosophically. How can you acquire a woman with only a pruta? But the pruta is only a gesture. And we often, if you often think of situations between a husband and wife, and you'll think very often how much more a wife appreciates a thoughtful gift with beautiful words and a beautiful card that demonstrates what the thought is, even if it didn't cost a lot, than a very expensive gift that does not have any value. If you were to forget an anniversary or a birthday, and you were to send a check to your wife and say, gee, I'm really sorry that I forgot your birthday. Here's a check, go and buy yourself something. That doesn't get as much credit as going out to her favorite florist and choosing her favorite flowers and putting together a beautiful bunch, which you bring to her with a beautifully written card. And that might have cost a fraction of what you gave in the gift or in the check, and yet it's more value. So here too, the act, the amount of money you give under the chuppah, that's all you give at the erusin, that's not what's important. What's important is that you give something, and with it comes the most beautiful gesture of words. And that gesture of words is Hare Atma Kudeshesli. And we're going to see in today's shiur, in Tosfos, what that really means. But that's what it says. It doesn't matter that it's just a pruta. The amount of money is irrelevant. You're saying, yes, I'm purchasing this for a pruta, but that's not really what it's about. It's about something that is priceless. It's about kiddushin, and you expect and you express that in the Hare at Mekudeshes Li. There is the question that is asked that if it's a proper gzeira shava, then why is chazoka not included? Why is there no havamina? Why doesn't the Gemara even ask? Why is there no chazoka by women? If we're learning it all from a field, we know that a field can be acquired by chazoka. There are ways to acquire a field by owner, by possession. You can fence the field, you can work in the field, you can do things like that in the presence of the owner, of the original owner, and that becomes a kinyan. Is there no such equivalent in the case of a woman? And the Ramban says, since there's no kinyan haguf, since the man does not acquire any kind of physical ownership of the woman, there's no havamin, it's not even suggested that there should be a kinyan chazoka, which once again seems to also go along the view that the gezeira shava is not a total gezeira shava. Let us move further into the Gemara now. At the beginning of Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara asks in the second line, V'nisni hosom ha'ish koine. Okay, so now we understand why it's important to say ha'isho niknes in this particular case, why we want to use the word kinyan rather than the word kiddushin. But we had this difficulty with the beginning of the of Perek Sheni on Daf Mem Aleph, where it says ha'ish mekadesh boyu vishlucho, asks the Gemara, V'nisni hosom ha'ish koine. Let's then say ha'ish koine. Let's learn the same. Once we've established that the real issue here is there's a kinyan kesef and there's an actual acquisition and he becomes her baal, why don't we say there also ha'ish koine boyu vishlucho? Let's use the word koine consistently. Answers the Gemara, Meikore tani lishna de oraisa, filibasoif tani lishna de rabonin. In the beginning, it uses the loshon of the Doraisa, and later on, it uses loshon de rabbonin. Asks the Gemara, umay lishna de rabbonin, and what is the loshon of rabbonin? De osa lo akula alma kehekdish. That he forbids her to everybody else like hekdish. Here we have the introduction of that idea, that there's something else going on here apart from kinyan. There's also an idea of a quasi-hekdish, something like hekdish, where she changes her status. His words call her like a neder, or hekdish. His words actually change the status of the object, and the object in this case being the woman, and she takes on new halachas. Not only does ownership of certain rights change, but also the halachas change, and that's an idea of similar to hekdish. And we'll analyze the Slav Gemara in a moment. V'nisni hocho ha'ish koine. Let's pause there for a moment. So what is the Gemara really, really analyzing here? The Gemara is saying, kinyan kesef and the concept of kinyan, of ownership, of acquisition, seems so central to our Mishnah that surely that should be the word that's used throughout the Masechta. And the Havamin of the Gemara is probably because any kind of Kiddushin flows from that. If the core of it is the Kinyan, is the act of acquisition, then surely any kind of any Kiddushin, any idea of Hekdesh, any idea of Isur, that flows later on from as a result. So the question here is, which is the Gorem and which is the Nigram? What is the cause and what is the effect? Does a man's ownership of the rights make her like Hekdesh, forbidden to everybody else? Or does her being forbidden to everybody else give him the rights? And the Gemara seems to assume in the beginning that our Mishnah, the centrality of Kesef and Kinyan, and the Mishnah suggests that the passageway is the Kinyan. By acquiring the rights, she becomes Osur. And that's why the Gemara wants to say, V'nisni hosom ha'ish koine. Let's use the word koine consistently. Answer the Gemara, Karatan lishna d'oraisa. That's correct. Lishna d'oraisa is kinyan. V'lebesoif tani lishna d'rabonin. Later on, we get to the loshon of rabonin. Let's have a look at Tosfos on this, and let's try and understand what this kinyan is and what the hekdesh is. If we look at the kinyan again, and we work with the gezeira shava, it's also quite interesting to try and understand before we analyze the Tosfos. Again, I'm talking here philosophically. Technically, we understand the lomdus. We understand what's going on here. But philosophically, it seems really odd to learn the principles of kinyan isho from a sode. To even make that comparison seems very odd. You'll remember last week I pointed out to you the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, who said the Gemara's question of why we even use the word Ha'isha Niknes is really around the dignity of a woman. Is it really dignified for a woman to say she's Niknes, she's acquired? What does that mean? And it's quite difficult because according to the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, where does the Gemara actually answer that? The Gemara says, yes, we do use Loshon Kinyan, and the reason we use Loshon Kinyan is for Kesef. That's making it worse. And where do we learn Kesef from a field? Just as you buy a field with Kesef, so you buy a woman with Kesef. That's making it much worse for the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. Not any better. So what is the Gemara actually saying? So particularly if we learn like Tosfos and the Rishbo, and we say it's not a complete Kinyan, it's not a complete Gezeira Shava, then what really are we talking about? And what is the difference? And what does this really mean? And I want to suggest the following. When you, there's a difference between a purchase and an investment. In sales now, it's become quite popular when you tell somebody the price of what you're selling him to call it an investment rather than a price, because somehow people feel better with investing, or they used to feel better with investing rather than purchasing. Now I'm not so sure. People probably feel, at least if I purchase something, I've got an object, whereas if I invest, who knows what I've got after a while. But be that as it may, there is a difference in the purchasing and investment. In the case of purchase, you end your relationship with the seller. That's really what a purchase is. It used to belong to you, and now it belongs to me. Here's the money. We have no further relationship in this object. When you invest, it's a little different. If you invest in a business rather than purchase, you could purchase the whole business and it becomes yours, but there's an element of investment which is the beginning of a relationship. And it would seem that here, when we say it's not a gezeira shava mamash, we're not really saying that it's like the purchase of the field that Avraham made from Ephron, where it was really a purchase. Ephron had no further rights in that field, although Ephron wanted to retain some rights and suggested, don't worry about the money, Avraham. You just use the field, bury your dead one here, and we'll carry on being in relationship around this field. And Avraham says, no, I want to pay you for it. I want to end our relationship over the field. The field now belongs to me. And if it were a gzeirah shava mamish, if this was a proper gzeirah shava, perhaps the same would apply to a woman. Gzeirah shava mamish, and therefore in the case of the gzeirah shava, I would suggest it's more of an idea of investment, where you're beginning a relationship, and that ties into the Rashis that I referred you to further on in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Dalet, where Rashi says that the reason that we need her participation is Deba'inan Das HaMakne, because you need in this action, you need the Makne's involvement too. Now we know she's not being Makno her entire self. And we know, as I've just said a few minutes ago, she's not being makno a kinyan haguf. She's not giving herself away. She's only giving certain rights in herself away to her husband, which means they remain in partnership. They're working together in her because there's a part of her that belongs to him and there's a part of her that belongs to herself. And therefore, this is no kinyan haguf, and they remain partners, which is actually a very beautiful idea, then we can say so. If we go through the Gemara would, according to the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, how can you say nikne is as if the woman is acquired? Is she just an object that is acquired? No, all we're learning from the Pasuk, all we're learning from the Gezeira Shava is that, make sure that this is turned off. All we're learning from the Gezeira Shava is that the act of giving money at a Rusin is called a Kinyan. But it's not a kinyan like the acquisition of an object. This is not a kinyan haguf. And that's why there's no intention, there's no thought that chazoka would apply here at all. On the contrary, this is an investment in partnership. He invests in his wife. That's what niknes means. Not that he acquires her or buys her, that he invests in her. And together they build a relationship where they're both part owners, so to say, in her, and you've got the das hamakno. Not so the Ran that I referred you to in the Dorim, where the Ran says, Elo mikivon shehi maskemes likidushe ho'ish. At the moment that she agrees to the kiddushin, so Aviva, you want to know what that moment was, that's the moment at which she extends her ring finger, ready for him to put the ring on her finger. At that moment, he mevateles da'ato uretzoino, she dismisses her own rights and will over herself, umashvi nafsho etzel habal kedova shel hefker, and she makes those rights husband is going to be acquiring a dover as if a dover shel hefker, the habal machniso lirshusoi, and the husband then takes her into his rishus, hilkach ein anu danin b'kiddushin mitzad ha'isha ele mitzad ha'bal. Therefore, whenever in kiddushin we talk about his actions, his kinyan. He says harayat mekudeshes. What does she do? The answer is she's already done it. By the time she's put out her finger, she's, so to say, released ownership and made herself available for him to be koine. And so therefore, the whole act of kinyan is his. In the Ran, there isn't that same sense of partnership, in a sense. She's kind of removed herself, left these rights in a state of hefker. He's acquired the rights, and there's actually a kind of transference that takes place. So we have two different philosophies in the Ran and Rashi as to what actually occurs, and we'll try and build up in the Masechta as we go through that. But now let's look at this hektish element, so we understand the Kenyan side to some degree. But what about the hektish element, and what's the cause and what is the effect? From the Loshon of the Gemara, it would seem to say that the primary driving force is the Kenyan, and out of that comes the Kiddushin. But let's have a look at the words in Tosfos. The Osala Kula Alma Kehektish, says Tosfos. Vahare, that's the second Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Beis. Vahare at Mekudeshesli. So then what are the words of Hare at Mekudeshesli? Where do we see any words of Isur? Where do we see him doing anything to make her forbidden to the rest of the world? Explains Tosfos, Kalomo, Lihiyos Li Mekudeshes Lo'ilam. I'm making you Lihiyos Li Mekudeshes Lo'ilam. I'm making you mine and forbidden to the rest of the world, Bishvili, for me. Kamoi, and it's very similar, Hare Hein Mekudoshim L'Shamayim. Interesting. Again, Tosfos brings in the idea of Hekdesh. And what is Hare Hein Mekudoshim L'Shamayim? If I say this object is Mekudosh L'Shamayim, what does that mean? It means Liyayos L'Shamayim. It means it belongs to Shamayim. And therefore, it's Hekdesh for everybody else. So when he says Vahare at Mekudeshes Li Kloima, Liyos Li Mekudeshes Loilam, I'm making you forbidden to everybody else. And the result is that it's mine. Just as when Hekdesh becomes forbidden to everybody else, so it seems to be suggesting, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So when the woman becomes forbidden to everybody else, he has those rights in her, Bishvili. And then Tosfos goes on to say, Ufasta de milta mekudeshesli meyuchedesli, umuzumenesli. But really the simple meaning of the word mekudeshes, it doesn't have any meaning of kedusha and hekdesh. That's not really what it means. It just means meyuchedes and mezumenes. You'll remember in the Torah that a prostitute, lahavdil, is called a kadesha, which has nothing to do with any form of kedusha, because kadesh also means available. The fact that she's here and available to me. So then, Hareat Mekudeshes, in this part, the Tosfos actually strips all some of the romance and all of the sanctity out of the word Hareat Mekudeshes. It simply means, you are hereby available exclusively to me. Which means he's actually doing the Kinyan. By saying Hareat Mekudeshesli, he is simply clarifying his intent, which fits in beautifully with Reb Baruch Be'er's explanation of Reb Chaim. That means this is just a Kinyan. That's all it is. But there's a Gzeiras HaKosev that has an additional requirement of this Kinyan, different from all other Kinyonim. That additional requirement is clarity from the words or the actions of the Koine. In this case, the clarity is expressed by means of the words Hareyat Mekudeshe. So this has got nothing to do with Hekdesh and Kiddushin. This is simply a clarification of intent. I'm making you exclusively mine. And then the halachas of Kiddushin step in. And the result of the halachas of Kiddushin are that they make her also to everybody else. And then Tosfos goes on and says, Umiyu im hayo omer talizu mekudashli. What happens if a person would acquire a talis, and at the moment of acquiring the talis, he makes a statement and says, this talis is mekudashli. Would that automatically make it osur on everybody else? Would you be over in isur if you used that same talis, other than kind of Geneva or whatever, but does it make it also? Just as in the case of Isha, She's also to everybody else, even if, even with his permission, even if he allows somebody to make use of her, she remains an Ashes. He doesn't have that right. Could the same work with a talis? That if I say talis zumakudeshisli, and I give the person money, would that talis become also to everybody else? Ein nirisha yoyel. No, it doesn't appear that that would work. The gabi isho ba med misyachedes lihe yos loy, hine eseris lacho. Again, we see Rabbi Ochber's understanding here, that in the case of a woman, by virtue of her becoming his, she becomes also to everybody else. That's the unique nature of this kinyan, different from all other kinyonim. Ava bekikar v'talis, but if a loaf of bread or a talis, lo shayach l'meimah hachi, there isn't that correlation of isur with ownership. It's only in the case of Ashes Ish that when a man acquires a woman, she becomes also to everybody else. So in Tosfos also, we seem to see a clear direction that it's the kinyan which causes the isur, rather than that we kind of make her hektish and that makes her also to everybody else, and once she's also to everybody else, he has some kind of access to her. I mentioned to you last week that Malcolm Ragbson had made mention of a Rebbe Chonin, and I hadn't seen the Rebbe Chonin inside. I have seen the Rebbe Chonin inside now. It's in Kovet Shurim, and he does learn much more along the lines that I originally wanted to learn, not like Rebbe Ochber. That means that two things are happening in a parallel form here. There's a parallel transaction. One is kinyan, and one is a kind of a hektish. And he says, "Arekva yesh bo shnei hadvorim." There are two things apply in the case of the kinyan of a woman. Kinyan the isur hadomel hektish. Number one, there's a kinyan, and number two, there's an isur which is domel hektish. That's the that's what actually takes place in the act of kiddushin. Different from the way Rabbi Ochber learns and Rabbi Chaim. The way Rabbi Ochber learns, there's only one thing, and that's a kinyan. There's a kinyan, and that kinyan has certain specific rules to it. The one rule is it needs clarity of expression, and the second rule is that by being kohen, a woman, she becomes an Ashes Ish, and also to everybody else. Rabbi Chonon says, no, there are two things. There's actually a kind of a hektish process that takes place here, which is similar to the way Tosfos seems to be learning in his first approach. Where Tosfos seems to be suggesting that she's mekudeshes, there's some kind of kedusha that takes place, and the result of that is bishvili, you're available to me. That seems more along the lines of the Rebbe Chonon learns, and the rest of the Tosfos seems to be more along the lines of the Baruch Be'er learns. So we'll hold these two views in our minds as we learn through the sugyas, and we'll try and understand the sugyas one way or the other, or according to both of them. Let's look at one more point before we tie up. Let's go further in the Gemara. V'nisni hocho ha'ish koine. So then let's learn here ha'ish koine. Why then in the passive form? And the Rishonim ask, why it takes so long for the Gemara to get here? Surely that's the first thing to ask. Because the word niknes is right in the beginning. Ha'isha niknes, okay, so you want to talk about the Loshen Kinyan. But then before going on to discuss the rest of the other Gemaras, or the other Mishnah, at the beginning of Perek Sheni, why not immediately get onto the fact that it's in the passive form? Why put it in the passive form? That's an obvious question. And the Rishonim, the Rashbam particularly wants to learn that this isn't a serious question. That's why it comes at the end. The reason it comes is really to get to the answer. But there's no real havamina that the Mishnah should say, ha'ish koine. Why not? Because the Mishnah would have to be longer if it did. So ha'ish koine b'sholosh drochim, a man buys with these three ways. He would have to say ha'ish koine es ha'isho b'sholosh drochim. Ha'isho nikneis, a woman is acquired. We know that means in marriage. But if it said ha'ish koine, it would have to say a man acquires a woman, and you would have to add another two words into the Mishnah, and therefore there's no need to do that, and the question is not a serious question. If you look at Rashi, it's quite interesting. Rashi says, "V'nisni hocha ha'ish koine ki heki d'tani b'lishna d'rabbanan ha'ish mekadesh." I want to actually focus on the second Rashi. So let's go further in the Gemara. V'nisni hacha ish koine, answered the Gemara, mishum de koboi le misne seif, koine es atzma bedido, since later on in the Mishnah says, and she acquires herself, talking about her as the subject, tananam reisha bedido, the Mishnah makes her the subject of the reisha as well, and keeps the style of the Mishnah consistent. Then the Gemara says, v'nisni ha'ish koine, u'makne, let it say, the man is koine u'makne, and we could keep it active, we could keep it in the active form all the way through, we could keep it, it's the man who's active, the man is koine when he marries, u'makne, and when he divorces, he's makne her back to herself. So the Gemara, mishum di'ika misas abar de'lavi hu komikmakne, min shemaya hu de'makne lo, that wouldn't cover the death of the husbands, which is one of the ways she gets her rights back herself. It's not only by get, it's also by death of the husband. And there he's not the makne, so it wouldn't work to put it in the active form and to make the man the subject of the Mishnah. It's better to make the woman the subject of the Mishnah and put the reisha in the passive and the sefer in the active. Be by seimer, an important second answer. If it would have said a man is koine, a wife, I might have thought that she plays no part in it at all, to the point that she doesn't even have to acquiesce. And he could do it bar kocho, he could just marry her even if she doesn't want to. Tanaha isha niknes demidato in shalomidato loy. That's why it says, ha'isha niknes, that she does play a part in this transaction. According to Rashi, the part that she plays is she's makno, she is the das makno. She gives herself to him, she gives those rights in herself to him, and according to the Ran, she at least makes herself hefker so that he can be zoche, but if she doesn't make herself hefker, he cannot be zoche in her. So in both cases, she does have to agree, she has to be active, she has to play a part in this kinyan, otherwise the kinyan can't take place. Now look at the second Rashi, second line at the top. This Rashi is very odd, because if you look at the Gemara, the words of the Gemara are V'nisne hocha ha'ish koine. So the Dibur ha'maschil in Rashi, the Dibur ha'maschil is the heavy print, if you've got a Gemara that has heavy print for the quote from the Gemara. When Rashi is quoting a piece from the Gemara, he puts it as part of the Dibur HaMaschil, and then there's a little period, there's a dot, and then comes Rashi's comment. But in this case, you'll notice it says V'nisni hocha ha'ish koine. That should all be the Dibur HaMaschil. That's all quoted from the Gemara, and then there should be the dot, and it should be Begimel Drochim. What is Rashi adding? What is Rashi telling us here? But I would suggest Rashi is disagreeing with the Rashbo. What did we say the Rashbo said? That the Gemara is not serious about this question because, and the only reason the Gemara brings this question in is to get to this whole chiddush that the Mishnah is telling us that a woman has to be active in the kinyan. If she were not active in the kinyan at all, the kinyan wouldn't work. That's what the Rashbo says, but there's no havamina really to say that the Mishnah should say ha'ish koine, because if it said ha'ish koine, it would have to add the additional words of es ha'isho, a man acquires a woman. And that would be extra words, so the Mishnah wants to take the shorter route. No, says Rashi, the Mishnah could easily have said, and this is the chiddush of Rashi, v'nisni hocho ha'ish koine begimul drochim. It only would need to say the man is koine begimul drochim in three ways. This is a serious question, and the question is only one of, and the question is that we should have it in the active form. And the Mishnah could well have said it without adding any extra words. It could simply have said, Ha'ish koine b'shloisha drochim. So then we've got to deal with the Rashbo's question. So then, what do you mean a man is koine b'shloisha drochim? Surely there are many ways that a man can be koine. Depends what he's being koine, if it doesn't say es ha'isho. And for that, we'll come back to the very first Tosfos. If you remember, the very first Tosfos says the reason it says ha'isho is because we're talking about a specific woman. We're talking about the woman referred to in the posuk of Ki Yikach Ish Isha. We're talking about the woman who is converted from being an ordinary woman into an Isha, into a wife. That's the woman we're talking about. We're talking about a halachic concept created in that posuk of Ki Yikach Ish Isha. Ha Isha, this concept of Isha, how is she nicknamed? That's what the Mishnah is talking about. In that case, says Rashi, if it said Ha Ish, and that's why Rashi adds Ha Ish Koine. If we would say ha'ish, we would be talking also about that halachic concept created by the posuk of ki yikach ish isho. That man in that posuk called ish, a man who is able to acquire a woman, how is he koine? There would be no reason at all to add anything additional. So this little Rashi on the second line that seems to say nothing at all and add nothing at all is actually a response to the view of the Rashbo, that because it says Ha'ish, since it's talking about the specific man referred to in the mission, in the Pasuk, there wouldn't be a need to add any additional words. The question is a serious question. Why is the Mishnah not placed in the active form of Ha'ish Koine, and why is it placed in the passive form of Ha'ish HaNiknes? And the Gemara then gives its two answers, both for a stylistic reason of the second half of the Mishnah, and also because the most important point we want to learn, that she has to be a part of this kinyan. She cannot be nikneis without being active. She cannot be nikneis without giving her permission and engaging in the kinyan, either the way the Ran describes or the way Rashi himself describes. So there we have the first piece of the analysis of the Loshon of the Mishnah. And the next thing we're going to be going into is the words sholosh, the fact that, that sholosh implies a feminine form. Drochim appears to be a masculine word. And in analyzing the need for the word derech, we're going to go into an interesting analysis of what derech means and why the word derech is used in the Mishnah. And although derech can be either male or female, why the Mishnah chooses the feminine form and says sholosh instead of shlosha, that's the piece of Gemara that we'll do next week. I'm going to try to get right through to the two dots on the beginning of Gimel Amud Aleph, because we're not going to go in depth to the various cases that the Gemara brings about Zav and Shvius and Esrog and so on. We'll learn through it, but we won't go through that piece in detail. I really just want to focus on the Loshon, the way the Gemara analyzes the Loshon of the Mishnah and what principles we can learn out of that analysis. So let me leave it here, and most of you requested that the length of the shiur be between 45 minutes and an hour, so that's what I'm going to try and aim to, and if there's some of you that would like to ring off at the moment, that's fine. Thank you very much for joining us, and look forward to learning with you next week, and please stay in touch by email. Also, Jerry tells me that there's a forum that is up, and that we can have some discussion on the forum on the website, and talk to one another. It's reserved specifically for this Gemara Shir. And those of you who would like to stay on for a few minutes, if you have anything to ask or to comment, please feel free to unmute your phone and to do so. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Some time.
Bye.
Rabbi Lapin?
Yes.
Where's the link to?
Sorry, Rabbi, where's the link to?
Where's the link on the website to the forum?
You need to check that with Jared. I also tried linking, and I only got to I just got to the Shear page, but it's on the Shear page. If you go onto the Shear page, so either if you go through one of the links that were sent, or you just go into the Talmud section, and then
on the Shear page.
On the Shear page, is that right, Jared?
Yeah, on the Shear page.
On the Shear page, you'll find the link to the forum. I haven't actually tried it out yet.
Okay.
Any other comments?
No.
Okay,
the only other
good
thing I was going to suggest was perhaps at the beginning of this year or just before this year, once you finalize what you're planning to present, if you could send us a link of all of the Makaris you're planning to cite so that we can pull them out of our library and have them at hand when you quote them.
Yes, I'm going to try and do that. I did send some of them, and the Avne Miluim and the Taz I mentioned at the end of the last year, but I didn't send them out again. So I will be disciplined about that so that we can follow more closely inside if you have a story. Thanks for that.
Could it be possible that those more obscure sources, can they be scanned and put into the forum after, or maybe during the share, just before the share, if possible?
If I get myself organized enough, we probably can do that.
Even after would be good, so we could go over them after this year.
How would it, can it be put into the actual forum?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can actually scan the images as maybe PDF files,
right,
and upload them to as a link for additional files that you have available to the people who are in the forum.
Okay, so I'm going to try and get a little bit more adept at that.
Robert Lappin, I have a question.
Yes.
The references to various different points like Iran, is there anywhere on the page of the Gemara that actually gives us a linkage to these? That, you know, how do you know that this page is connected to some comment by Iran?
That's a good question, Cameron. No, there aren't. You know, sometimes you'll get a link. You know, Tosfos will bring a link, or on the side of the Gemara you'll get a link. But otherwise, it works very much like on the internet with hyperlinking. As you're learning, you see something linked to something else. You learn that piece. Somebody quotes something on that piece, and you go from link to link and expand almost exponentially, and then select what you want to actually focus on in the shiur. So when I'm preparing, that's the process.
When you decided to use Iran, is because sometime in the past you had come across that piece and you thought it would be relevant?
No, it's while I was learning this piece of Gemara, as I moved through various different Rishonim and Acharonim, I found somebody who made reference to it and went and learned the Iran and found that it was something that I wanted to use as we worked, and so with the others.
Very good.
It's very simple. It's very simple, similar to researching on the internet. You start, you work, you move to a link, and from there to another, and all of a sudden you've got things all over the place, and then you narrow it down as to what you want to focus on.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Robert.
Okay. Thanks to all of you, and look forward to learning with you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.